Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode number 79. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year in 2019.
Hopefully it's a great year. Hopefully we'll have a great year here at the podcast. And we've got a great show to start out the year with Phil Joel.
Exactly. What do you think, Brendan?
Oh, Brendan's not here today. Oh,
well then we're getting off to a great start.
Before we get started, where are we at?
We are in the 13 Palm Trees podcast studios.
Shout out to them. Go check them out on social media. They have a great setup here in Northern West Virginia. If you'd like to do a podcast and you're interested, check them out. Contact them and they will help you out.
And not only that, there's a free coffee maker on the end of the table.
Yeah, that's mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Phil Joel, Newsboys United. It was one of the biggest highlights of 2018 when it comes to Christian music, and they are going to be headlining the Winter Jam Tour starting on January 11th. It kicks off in Jacksonville, Florida. We'll be talking a little bit more about that after the interview, but what do you say about Newsboys United? Why should people go see this?
Well, because it's magic.
Watching
those guys on stage just all together, like we talked about it in the Michael Tate episode where they just never missed a beat. They were incredible on stage. And I think fans from all generations, new and old Newsboys, were there. And it was really cool to see old songs and new songs and how they blended that together for a great tour.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that I always love is blending the new and the old. And I hate saying old because some of those old songs are new.
Yeah, that's you.
Well, no. Some of those old songs are new to people, and then they can go check that out when they hear it.
In my mind, Peter Furler's still the new Newsboys lead singer. And then there's Michael Tate, who's the new lead singer. And They have a long line of history, and it just confuses me sometimes.
Anyway, this interview's a pretty lengthy one, and we'll be diving into that shortly. But before we do that, we need to talk about our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. Shout out to Maria, Jody, Lorena, and Leslie for helping us out. They are some of the best listeners, because they're part of our team.
Yeah.
And for as low as $1 a month, you can join our team as well. And that's at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. Things you can get with that: bonus episodes.
We had a really good bonus episode for the Michael Tate episode. It was good.
So some of our bonus episodes, what we cover is kind of the setup of the interview. We talk about that more in depth. We talk about, I don't know, just kind of the background.
Just kind of how it happened. Shoot from the hip a little bit. Just,
yeah.
You know?
We kind of go more in depth. And you can get that through our Patreon page exclusively. And you can do that at patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. And then you can do that for as low as $1 a month, by the way. That helps us out. That helps us keep the bills paid. That helps us keep the lights on and the toilets flowing with water.
It gives you the opportunity to be part of the team and helps us to help you get better content.
Yes. Speaking of content, 2019 kicking off with Phil Joel here.
It's pretty exciting.
It is. We talk about a lot of things. We talk about everything from
fashion to music,
hair,
to hair, to maybe what's on the horizon, to social media, and just, I don't know, we talk about all of it.
Zealand, his band Zealand, we talk about that.
Yes.
And if you haven't heard them, you need to check them out. But without further ado, here is our interview with Phil Joel.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
So we are here with the legendary Phil Joel. The
legendary.
Legendary. Woo! Your hair's legendary.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Actually, my wife wanted me to ask you, what do you think about bell bottoms, like, coming back? Because you've kind of rocked them this whole time. Like,
I didn't know they went anywhere.
Now they're back. Maybe
tell her I didn't know they went anywhere. Where did they go?
Right. You might be responsible for this revival.
Maybe, right?
Bell bottoms.
Wow, wouldn't that be cool? Yeah. Nah. Yeah. I don't know.
How much time do you spend on your hair a week?
Not much. Not much. It's a mess.
It's just
like weeds growing out of my head.
it's glorious though. At the same time.
Well, I don't know, man.
I just remember in the late '90s, like people were like, "How does he do that?" Like, huh. But it's you just show up and there it is.
Just show up. Yeah.
That's a natural.
Natural mess.
Phenomenon.
Talent.
Didn't you used to do hair like way back in the day?
Yes.
Way
back.
So people probably saw that and was like, oh, if he can do that with his hair, what he can do with mine.
Yeah, but I was terrible. I was terrible, so.
Our mom did hair for like
really
30 years.
Wow.
And so we never had the hair you did.
I never had to pay for a haircut though. It saved me a lot of money.
That's true. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm saving up my haircut money.
Okay.
Yeah, been doing it for years.
That's a way to keep the date money.
Right.
Going, right?
Yes.
So we are here with the Newsboys United Tour. How long has this been going on?
It started in February. So where are we? You know, we're moving right along.
Sometime in the fall,
approaching October.
Yeah.
When will this year?
October? Not sure.
All right, just whenever.
Pending.
The fall.
TBD.
TBD. All right, yeah, so, and it finishes on December 16th, but then I'm not supposed to announce that.
Okay.
Well, I can.
Don't listen to that part.
No, I can announce that. Okay. But then it turns into Winter Jam.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So,
we'll wait to air this one.
Yes.
Okay.
I think Winter Jam announcement is October 8th.
All right. Well, we'll wait till October 8th there, this then, to be safe.
Yeah, so I'm getting in trouble.
So when this started, were you kind of scared to go back on the road? What was your thoughts coming back?
I've never kind of left the road kind of thing, you know, but, you know, I kept touring just at my own pace and on my own
terms.
This
is a different animal, though.
But this is, this is, you know, the grind, which is great. It's really easy. It's really easy, and the time is right, you know. Sometimes some seasons are just, no, you know, you got the big red flashing light, no, it's not time to do that. And then other times it's, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
It feels right. And so this is feels right. Let's do it. On all fronts, you know, my family, my kids are getting older, and they're in a cool place where it's not like they need dad around 24/7, you know.
Right.
And my kids come out on the road on this too, you know, sometimes and help, you know, help sell T-shirts, or even my son even play drums and on six of the shows. And yeah, so there's always stuff going on. Yeah.
Were you nervous at all about getting back into it, or
no?
You know, just
like riding a bike. Getting back
what are to fans go? Gonna think of this blonde-haired guy? That.
Oh right.
Yeah.
No. I don't know. You guys probably thought about it more than I did. it's just. I just felt that the right timing, you know, and it's been great. I mean, you know, we've been doing this for so many years collectively, and with so many songs that have meant so much to so many, it's just makes sense that it's been a really, really interesting on a lot of fronts. One of the fronts I think was really surprising was that, it's been a real sort of revitalization for certain people of a certain generation who have come into these shows and have realized, wow, you know, those are the songs that soundtrack the move of God in my life. You know, my faith was formed at that time, and these were the songs that were, you know, that were swirling in the air at the time. And so it's kind of reinvigorated, you know, a lot of people's faith, which is cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, nice. Rather than just thinking, oh, we're taking a walk down memory lane, it's been a really good thing for a lot of people. And, you know, for me to be a part, to have Zealand out on the road doing doing what we do is, that's what I'm doing now. So it's like, you know, a taste of the new and then, you know, bring back something of the old era, which is fun.
It's interesting, though. Our grandmother passed away this year, and she had, like, this really rough battle with dementia for the last 5 or 6 years. But it's like she always struggled kind of knowing what was going on around her, but if she heard a song, it was like, oh
yeah, yeah,
I know where I'm at now.
Sure.
So, and I think that's what music does, and I think that's the power of some of these songs that you're coming back to play, Entertaining Angels. Like,
yeah,
why do you think a song like that still resonates with people today?
Yeah, well, I think you just nailed it. I think it just helps us remember, you know, maybe where we've come from, where we should be, and helps realign certain things at different points. You know, it's not like we want to go back, and our faith is always changing, you know, and we're growing and we're maturing and we're seeing things from different angles, and we're understanding, you know, our understanding of God and of how things function, you know, is hopefully growing, not narrowing. You know? And so we don't need to go backward.
Right.
We're always moving forward, but it's something about just remembering, you know, the simplicity of our faith when we were younger, and it's kind of refreshing, you know. But yeah, music's a powerful thing. It's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it just makes you, it puts you back there. You know, I can remember, there's certain songs I can listen to, and the moment I hear them, I know, I can visualize in my head where I was when I first heard it, or where it was that I listened to that song the most, or that season in my life, the friends, the things that were going on. So, yes.
Yeah.
What is the reaction that you're getting from people that are coming back to see, oh, we're going to go see the Newsboys United tour, that maybe have not heard of Zealand, and now they're seeing you for the first time and realizing you guys are actually very good, and maybe not have heard or didn't even know that you were doing something?
Yeah, it's kind of nice. I mean, it's just a nice bonus, really, you know, that people get to hear and experience what we're doing with Zealand, and, you know, pick up, you know, out here on this tour, people are still buying CDs, which is nice, you know, good old piece of plastic.
Yeah.
And, so they're getting, you know, picking up the music, and hopefully it's soundtracking a new era of, you know, of life for them. So, yeah, it's a really nice combination. You know, I'll be sad when this tour's done, because it's kind of a really nice culmination of what's gone on over the years and really what we're doing now.
You released an album called Liberated kind of right at the beginning of this tour.
Yep.
What was that album, what was the process of making that album like? Why, you know, why did it come to be what it is?
Yeah.
Liberated, like what was going on in your life that caused it to turn out like that?
Well, we headed down a certain path trying to make a certain record. The record that we thought we should make. And we really felt like we should be making like a worship album that people can sing. And, man, I just had trouble. I couldn't write certain things. You know, some people have just a gift at writing corporate worship. I don't. I can write other things. And we just kind of struggled. And we started, we did have some songs. I'd written a bunch of things. We got a few things together and we were heading down that track. And then realized, no, we need to write and record what it is that is coming out of us, what it is that's going on in us, what it is that the Lord's done and is doing, and just real authentic stuff. And so we kind of cast off the restraints of feeling we needed to do what we were supposed to do, and just kind of got a new sense of freedom as people and as musicians, and which was great, you know, and we got liberated, kind of thing, you know, to make the music that we felt we were to make. And that song is a title track. I mean, there is a song on the record called Liberated. And it was actually the last song we wrote for the record. And we play that out here on the tour. And yeah, it's about getting free, making some moves and in the right direction with the Lord, you know. And yeah, so the whole record has a sort of freedom sort of theme running through it.
How do you, is there a difference between how you approach songwriting when it comes to maybe doing a pop song like Entertaining Angels to a more worshipful track? Do you have a different approach, or does it, I don't know, just come from the same place?
Well, no, you have to, you know, it's a craft, and it is an art form, of course, but it also is crafting. So you have to craft something in order to fit a purpose and serve a purpose. And worship as a genre, as we generalize it, is something that needs to be sung corporately, you know? Mm-hmm. And that can be tricky.
Yeah.
Because you generally have to sort of simplify things and kind of make sure melodies are accessible and all that, you know, which is kind of challenging, actually. You know,
nerve-wracking a little bit.
A little bit. Well, you'd think it would be easy, but it's not. You know, hats off to guys that do it really well. I don't know. As a musician, I want to keep growing and learning and moving forward. And sometimes writing sort of corporate worship that seems very simplistic in order to, for people to be able to sing it and access it seems like a step backwards for me. Sometimes. But, I mean, that sounds like a judgment call or something. But anyway, no, it's they're quite different sort of processes. One, to me, is a little more liberating, and the other is a little more restrictive, which is... And I won't tell you which one's which, but I think you probably figured that out.
Yeah.
What's something that you know going into this tour that maybe you wish you could have told yourself 20 years ago when you were on tour with the New Sports?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think I'm really just enjoying every bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
And just taking my time to just enjoy the ride, you know, not wish I was somewhere else, you know, just enjoy being right here in the moment and surrounded by the people I'm surrounded with, and just, you know, there's not a facet of it I think, you know, I'm taking for granted. Whereas maybe 20 years ago, you definitely, you know, take things for granted, like, now I realize, wow, it's a big deal. There's like 3,000 people standing in front of us, you know, ready to hear something from us. That's kind of, I don't know what I was thinking before. You know, sometimes when you're a kid, you're like, I don't know where the people came from. I don't care. Haven't thought about it. But of course, you know, it's been a pretty wild journey, and I don't want to ever take any of it for granted. You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And there's a lot of good, and there is a little bad, and some of it's kind of ugly when you peel back the curtain. When you get, you know, especially growing up, you sort of idealize a lot of things and the business of music and the business of. Of, you know, the churchianity. There's all kinds of stuff mixed in with it, and it can leave you a little confused and disillusioned at different points. But you get older and wiser, and hopefully you begin to realize, man, it's all about people at the end of the day and serving. And and so hopefully that's what this tour is doing. And I think it is. You know, I wasn't 100% sure as how that was going, what that was going to look like. You know, to start with. You know, because sometimes you have an agenda of this is how it's going to serve and this is how it's going to reach people. And I think God sometimes has better ideas, you know. And usually those better ideas come out of us just sort of trusting and relaxing and resting in the fact He knows what He's doing, and we just need to shut up and enjoy the ride a little more, you know, and love on the people that we come across, and just try and stay attuned to Him and attuned to the moment.
I know I've read that you guys, and this is like the biggest faux pas in the music industry, you're not like big on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. Like, you don't do social media.
No.
Why did you make that decision? I mean, was that even a decision, or did you never get into it, and why?
Oh, no, it's a decision.
Yeah?
No, it's a big decision, and it's one that definitely is kind of a... You know, it's controversial in our world, you know? So what are you doing? Why aren't you doing this? Why are you not engaging people in these mediums? And I just believe that these mediums are taking more than they're giving from people's lives. They're robbing us of the moments. They're actually not, and they're feeding the FOMO, the fear of missing out. And everyone is, because of the fear of missing out, I think a lot of people are missing out because they're filling their minds and their time and their headspace with, you know, snippets of useless information. And we're becoming obsessed with other people's lives, and we're not focused on the things that really matter in life because we're busy looking at everyone else, and we're thinking, oh, well, maybe I need to be like that or like this or think like that or do this or be a part of this, and we end up breathing shallow, you know, and not breathing deep and standing tall and enjoying, you know, God, enjoying the moment, those around us, who we are, the things we're meant to be doing. There's a lot to it, you know. It's a day and age of, you know, there's a lot of depression out there. There's a lot of dissatisfaction with life and with everything that's going on. A lot of suicide, a lot of things, and I know these rates have all gone up, you know, in the last 10 years, like wildly. Mm-hmm. And I also, and so I go, wow, is there any sort of correlation here to the fact that we're really kind of obsessed with, we're media obsessed, you know? Now I make media, you know, I make music, I'm mm-hmm. out there, and but there is good and bad media, and there's too much media consumption, and there is, you know, right. at different points. So I just wonder, you know, if we've crossed a line, and maybe mm-hmm. we need to go back. So point to all of that is, you know, we don't engage in it. Mm-hmm. And I feel I don't want to be a part of the problem. I'd rather try and be a part of the solution. And you know, people can argue with me all day long on whether or not it's something that we need to redeem as opposed to step away from. And I just want to give that option. I want to say to people, hey, you don't have to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like, you know, what do you guys do? You got a podcast, that's cool, you know. Yeah. YouTube, yeah, there's some good information, some good things to watch and stuff, but you know, becoming obsessed with snippets of information across the board and filling up our days and filling up our minds and our headspace, man, life's too short.
Yeah.
You know, so there's the option is there. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do Instagram. You don't have to do Facebook. You don't have to do Twitter. You don't have to do any of them. No one's forcing us.
Another aspect of that, I guess, especially with being on stage, like 20 years ago, you're playing a song and everybody's into it.
Yeah.
Now you look out and everyone's got their phone up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, have you ever, like, what does that look like to you, or does that kind of depress you? Have you ever said, hey, for this song, let's just put our phones down and focus on, I mean,
yeah.
what, I mean, how do you feel about that aspect?
Well, it makes me accountable to singing in June, I know that.
Yeah.
Better not mess this up, there's all these cameras out. Yeah, it is, the other night we were at something, and this girl in the very front row was just filming the whole thing, and at a certain point I was like, I sort of signaled to her, like, man, just drop the phone, you know?
Yeah.
And I had to do it again. Come on, just forget it. Just be here, you know. She finally got it. And then she ended up sort of just, you know, big smile and enjoying the moment, as opposed to trying to capture it. She decided to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're right. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't depress me or bug me or anything. You know, I think people are just trying to catch souvenirs of the moment.
Sure.
Generally, but you know.
There is an aspect of actually just...
Yeah.
Focusing, though.
Yeah, let's not live virtually. Yeah. Let's live.
Like, you know? I remember seeing the Newsboys in the 90s, and I don't need a recording on my phone.
Right.
To remember that.
Yeah.
You know?
Drum sets flipping upside down.
Uh huh.
Light shows. Spaceships coming out of the ceiling.
Yeah, hopefully it left an impression, you know? Beyond an online impression. Yeah.
Yeah. So, when you come back and play a song like Entertaining Angels, which turned 20 years this year.
Yeah.
At 20 years old.
Yeah, right.
That song in particular seems to resonate, and I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but what does that particular song mean to you, and why do you think it's still so important today, 20 years later, people are still, I mean, it's still being played on radio, why do you think that song in particular is one that people remember?
Yeah, well, to be completely honest, we should probably tell people where we are. We're in the back of the tour bus, and the air conditioning is turning on and off. So if the hissing is coming and going, that's what's happening. That song is and was written in a time in Christian music where there was a lot more respect, I feel, for the artistry of creative sort of word picture lyric writing, which you know, now, you know, we want it. It either has to be a sort of a vocabulary of worship, or we have to understand it just very black and white. This is what the song is about, and this is the message, and there it is. Which, you know, pros and cons to that, you know, to either side. But back when Entertaining Angels was written, and when I was a part of being able to, you know, pen that song along with Peter and Jody, you could write lyric that would paint pictures that weren't exactly spelling out for you what the song was about, so people would derive their own meanings to the song, and they would derive their own attachments to it, and they'd attach different memories and different sort of thoughts to it, and it would mean different things to different people, which sounds kind of like vague, but it's really beautiful because, like you say, it still stood the test of time. It still means a lot to a lot of people. but it might mean a different thing to you than it means to me. Mm. And I know what I wrote it about, and it probably means an entirely different thing to you, which is kind of beautiful, right? That's kind of like God, you know. It's like, it's almost like when we open up scripture and we read it one time, we go, wow. We take it at face value, and then another time we read it again and we go, whoa, I see a whole different thing in there, you know, that I never saw before, and it means something else to me. So I think that that's why that song has stood the test of time, because it's not spelling it out for you. But it's really a beautiful, I mean, you know, it's a cool song. I still love it. I still love singing it.
Yeah. When did you know that this is something that you wanted to do? I think about, you grew up in New Zealand.
Yeah.
What's the Christian music scene there, and how did you know, oh, this is something I actually want to pursue with my life?
All right. I don't know. I don't think I necessarily pursued it. It kind of pursued me, I think, and I ended up doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I don't know if that's the right answer, you know, but it's a correct answer for everybody, but I started writing songs when I was a kid, and then I was in a band in New Zealand, and we were believers. There were three of us in the band, and we were believers, but we played wherever and whenever we could at different places. A country of 3.5 million people, you had to play, you know, anywhere and everywhere, and be ready to deliver, you know, or else you get something thrown at you, you know. And so we would play youth group events. Then we would play in the pub down the street, you know, when we'd play covers, or we'd mixed in with our own songs, and we'd play parties, we'd play wherever. And then, you know, Newsboys came down. This is before I joined, obviously, and we opened up for them. Yeah. And because, you know, we were believers. And here's this Christian band coming down to New Zealand, and hey, we're Christians. We got asked to play. So we did, and that, you know, we got on really well with them, and so, and then, you know, which led to me being invited to be a part of Newsboys. So, and then I found myself in the US, in the midst of Christendom, in the midst of, you know, whoa, Christian music and all of this whole genre, you know, which was outside of, you know, it, which was wild. And so I began to write, you know, for the band. And right, and my faith began to grow in new ways too, and I began to write different things, and you know, it's just kind of evolved, I guess. Yeah. I don't know what the word is, but yeah, I never sort of set about going, here's my career choice, you know.
It seems like more you were called in that direction.
Yeah, I think so. God just orchestrates our paths, you know, as we pursue Him, you know, and our pursuit of God is obviously not, you know. Yeah, doesn't put us in a place of, you know, perfection that clears the way, you know, for you know, makes our life and this journey devoid of trouble, and you know, oh, there it is, you'll now be a Christian musician. No, it just, you know, we all have different paths, and as we pursue the Lord, you know, He orders our steps, and we have our own plans, but at the end of the day, it's Him, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, it's been a fun journey.
I know you mentioned that the Newsboys are going to be on Winter Jam. Is Zealand going to be part of that too?
No, we're not. So Zealand is not going to be a part of that, which is sad.
Are you rebelling against that? You're going to have shows outside the venues for Zealand?
Yeah, maybe, right? I'm going to put Zealand stickers all over the venue.
So what's the future for Zealand after this tour?
Well, we're writing right now. We're writing as much as we can, and we're trying to capture what it is that we need to say and the songs we need to put forward. And yeah, trying not to overthink that, because you can. You can overthink it, you know. What do we need to make? How do we need to do this? You know, just trying to make music. And then we set up a studio most days in the venue.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not as you guys figured out, you know, this venue is really beautiful, but there's not a lot of backstage
room. Really small,
I mean, the venue itself is a decent size, but the backstage area is little. So, no studio today. But generally we try and set up every day and work on songs.
Okay.
And so we'll get into recording at some point, probably early next year while I'm doing Winter Jam, when I come home, you know, when I'm out on the road, we'll figure out how to do that. And have a new release out sometime next year.
Cool. Last question before we get out of here. So many fans want to know, when is the sequel for the Down Under, the Big Top?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we made it, but it didn't get put out.
Wide range of VHS release.
Wide range of VHS releases throughout the Middle East.
That was good.
That was fun, right?
Yeah.
Down Under the Big Top. If you don't know what we're talking about, look it up.
Down, I think it's on YouTube.
It's always Down Under the Big Top. Yeah, it is on YouTube.
It is on YouTube. The whole thing, right? Yeah. Someone put it up there. Yeah, that was fun. I mean, no one was doing that stuff. We just decided at the time to take the video budgets because, back then, the cycle of a record, you'd have, you know, 3 or 4 singles, hopefully, and then you'd release videos, make videos for them. And so you'd set budgets. They would set a budget for each video. And we thought, why don't we just take the budgets for all 4 videos and put it together and make a video, a movie?
Yeah.
You know, even though it was a low-budget movie,
yeah,
it's,
right.
You know, movies cost, all that stuff costs so much. And we made this goofy little movie.
Did you have a stunt man?
Steve Taylor. No, I did all my own stunts. And even the mirror ball. And even
the hamster, yeah, or whatever.
The
hamster.
Yeah.
That's right. Working with all the animals. That was
the animal.
I did the animal. I did, yeah. That was all me. No stunt doubles. But yeah, that was a goofy, fun experience. I mean, it's all Steve Taylor's fault. We blame him. He is an amazing mind. So
yes. Yeah,
he's another person that if people are curious as to what we're talking about, you look up Steve Taylor,
yeah,
and find out
Ruby
some.
Red Slippers.
Ruby Taylor. Red Slippers. Yes, he's a nut.
I made my wife watch that when we were dating, and she married me, so
wow,
couldn't be that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she forgiving you yet?
I mean, she married me, so.
Yeah, good.
Marriage counseling solved all that, I guess. Thank you so much for your time, Phil. It's been so fun.
Well, thanks, fellas, and thanks for listening over the years. You know, thanks for hanging in there, and yeah, it means a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Thanks a lot, man. That was our interview with Phil Joel. I'd like to thank him. He invited us on his tour bus.
That was pretty cool.
You'll hear more about that in our bonus episode if you are a Patreon subscriber. Yeah, so Phil Joel, we talked a lot about, you know, some of the, you know, we talked about his band Zealand. If you haven't heard it, the album Liberated, it came out almost a year ago. Yeah, that's worth checking out. But we talked a lot about specifically the song Entertaining Angels and why some of that music from 20 years ago still resonates. And I think that that's why the Newsboys United tour was so successful. It's because people still listen to that music and there's something that still resonates.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that this is something that they put together, everyone's schedules kind of lined up, and they were like, hey, let's see what happens when we bring Peter Furler and Phil Joel on just to kind of reminisce. And the way the crowd responded, the way the shows were selling out, they extended the tour, they extended it again, and now they're doing Winter Jam. I think they were pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I think it was pretty experimental at first, and then when they saw how people loved it so much and people bought tickets, they were like, let's keep it rolling.
Well, a lot of the thing that you always hear performers or entertainers say is, I mean, it's the Newsboys, and you think, well, of course they're going to be confident, but people always think, well, are they going to remember? Are they going to remember the old songs? Are they going to remember what it's like for the old school Newsboys to be out there? And of course that starts to get my wheels turning.
Yeah, because fans in music have a short-term memory, and so musicians a lot of times have that, I mean, almost like a self-esteem problem, where they're like, I don't know if these guys are going to remember me or if they even have even heard of me.
And my wheels are turning. There's another band that I would like to see get back together and go on tour, and maybe
involving Michael Tate?
Involving Michael Tate.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And maybe this positive reaction to some of the old school Newsboys.
I didn't know he was in another band.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So maybe hint, hint, hey guys, we miss you. Come out.
Yes. Speaking of tours, Winter Jam Tour kicks off January 11th in Jacksonville, Florida. You need to go to 2019.jamtour.com to see if it comes anywhere near you.
Is there anyone else on that tour?
Touring extensively throughout the next few months. Newsboys United is headlining. Danny Gokey and Mandisa, both American Idol alums. Ren Collective.
They're very good live.
They are. Ledger.
Also
known as Jen Ledger.
Jen Ledger, I think. I have not yet seen her live.
This is her like debut.
I think this is her debut tour, and I mean, I think this is her launching point. You could be one of the first people to see Ledger and what she can do.
New song, of course, as they are kind of the hosts every year. Holland, a DCT podcast alum,
is incredible. A look up in the archives, decentchristiantalk.com.
We got Manic Drive, Dan Brennemus? I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I'm a terrible host. Ty Brazel is also on the tour, and he is like one of the up-and-coming artists in hip-hop. He just released his full-length debut album. So there you go. There's a lot of up-and-coming artists that are on this tour. Ty Brazel.
Fun tour.
Jen Ledger isn't really new, but this is kind of her first solo venture.
Yeah, she's changed up her gimmick a little bit.
Yeah, so like I said, 2019.jamtour.com. See if they are coming to a city near you. You can get in the doors for only $15, but it is first come, first serve. So you got to get there early because they will turn people away. I've seen it happen.
It's not good.
It's kind of a... So usually if you've ever followed Winter Jam usually has a lot more. I mean, they usually have twice as many artists. So my hope is that they are giving the Newsboys United thing a lot of time.
They played 30 songs at the show that we were at. So.
I mean, there's no way they're going to be able to fit in that many with this tour, but...
Yeah, but still...
20 songs might be doable still.
Hey, I wouldn't hate it.
I wouldn't either. But check that out, Winter Jam. It's coming to a city near you. And for those of you that are listening to our bonus episode, you're going to get a lot of fun content with Josiah and I talking more about the Phil Joel interview.
Yes.
So we're going to head off into the sunset, guys. Thank you so much for joining us.
One more thing.
Oh.
Well, if you want to kick off the new year right.
Okay.
What better way to do it than with last year's model debuting a brand new song?
Yes. You need to check that out on iTunes, our friends with last year's model. Brendan Gallagher, who was on the last episode. I'm sure he'll pop in sometime this year.
Okay. Well, I mean, it took him almost 350 days. To do it live.
He is
busy.
He's the lead vocalist in last year's model, and they just released, or they are about to release
on January 4th.
Based on when this podcast comes out.
Depends on when you're listening.
If you go on iTunes, you can look up their single Alice. Regardless, it's up there. You can pre-order it depending on when you're listening on to this. It's a fantastic track. I've actually played with the band live a couple of times, and I've played this song, so I know it's good.
Yeah, it has to be.
I don't remember what I was going to say, but...
I think you were heading into the home stretch, doing the wrap-up.
2019, it's hard to believe it's a new year, but it is here, and we hope the best for you this year. Some of us have had bad 2018s. I know our family had it rough, but we're looking ahead, and we are excited about what's to come for our lives and for this show. So thank you for joining us. You can check us out at decentchristiantalk.com. Twitter page, DC Talk Act 2. You can also check us out on Instagram if they haven't screwed it up again. DC Talk Podcast.
That shows what unity in America can do.
Yeah.
We changed it back.
Yes. We are on iTunes, we are on Spotify, we are on YouTube, SoundCloud is still open to this day, I believe. And, oh yeah, I forgot to say, if you want to hang out with Brendan, which, you know, we always like doing that, but if you want to hang out with Brendan, he will be on the Jesus Freak Cruise, not performing, but he will be there.
Well, let's be honest, he's always performing.
Yes. but he will be there. Anyway, thank you so much for checking us out. We will catch you next time.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.